Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Ray Keating is with us. Ray's a good friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust going all the way back to 1999. He's chief economist for the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. He's the author of a number of books, including his new novel, Warrior Monk. And he's our good friend, Ray Keating. Welcome back.
Hey, Jim. How are you?
Doing great. It's good to have you back. And by the way, Ray is a New Yorker, folks. So in the next segment, we're going to talk about his thoughts on commemorating the 10th anniversary of 9/11. And of the attacks of 9/11, the murdering of almost 3,000 people on 9/11. But Ray, it's not my fault that the president decided to announce his jobs program hard by to the commemoration of 9/11. So it's his fault that that you and I are compelled to report on his proposals.
Well, you got to take what it is. This is the news of the day, and the president carved out the time to make a major speech. So.
What was your overarching general impression of the president's speech last night? What's your overarching emotion about what happened last night?
You know, it's interesting. My immediate reaction throughout most of the speech, and I said this to my wife immediately afterwards, was this is the same stuff, and from an economist standpoint, at least from this economist standpoint, the same misguided stuff that we've heard time and time again from the president, but he only said it louder and angrier.
Did you notice his voice was a little higher last night? It was almost a little shrill last night, wasn't it?
That's what I took away. I took away that this man is saying the same thing that he's always said, but he's saying it louder and angrier. As if, like, the first so many times we've heard it that we couldn't hear him. You know, was the reaction supposed to be, oh, right, now I get it because I couldn't hear you before, but that was my initial reaction. Number two was this had very little to do with economics and had everything to do with politics and the campaign for re-election.
My overarching
it was politics. It wasn't really economics. And the other thing was, you know, and he would say, he actually said this is not class warfare, but of course it was.
It is class warfare.
He said this isn't a campaign speech, but of course it is a campaign speech. And the other thing, I mean, it was a classic political move by painting his opponents as being against all government whatsoever.
Right.
So it was politics.
Especially the part about, and those of you who pledged not to raise anybody's taxes as long as you, for your rest of your natural lives or something like that. That was a cheap shot. But you know, Ray, my overarching emotion was one of embarrassment. I was embarrassed for him because he, as you say, he didn't have anything new, and so much of what he said was completely transparent and predictable, and I'll explain that in a second. And he called the most dramatic venue on planet Earth into session to do this. I mean, it's really, I was just very sad for him. And what the reason I said, I talked about the predictable part. The thing that he was most worked up about, Ray, was the schools and the highways and the bridges and the roads and the airports and all that kind of stuff. I asked this in the last hour. When has there been some great outcry that we need to work on 35,000 schools? I don't know, but here's what people have to realize: every project that cost a nickel or $1 billion that has one penny of federal money connected to it requires Davis-Bacon prevailing wages, which are union wages.
Yep.
Now that's why he's worked up about this. That's a very predictable thing. And Ray, yesterday when I did a segment where I tried to advise the president about what to say last night, and I said, Mr. President, please stop picking winners and losers. You're not that good. And yet he did that last night, Ray.
Oh, yeah. No, you're absolutely right across the board there, Jim. You know, and we've heard, I mean, my goodness, you've been doing this for a long time. I've been doing this for a long time. You have people on the left that have been talking about America's infrastructure for as long as I've been doing it. I mean, go back to, you know, when I was in high school. This was the mantra.
Did they have roads when you were in high school?
Unbelievably, they did. We did have roads. And the notion that, you know, the other thing to keep in mind here, and I don't want to get too far off track, is that any kind of federal dollars that rain down to the states and local, you know, states and localities are for the goodies. Because states and localities actually make decisions, they tax their own citizens, and they have to do roads, schools, and so on and so on. The so-called free money from the federal government is for the goodies, for the add-on.
Right.
So this is what we're talking about here. We're talking about pure politics. This is how this money is distributed. It's not distributed based on any sound economics. It's politics. And unfortunately, this is what they're billing as an economic agenda.
And he's talking about the youth who are so unemployed. He wants to fix that. But yet he's one of the people who pushed hard for increases in minimum wage. Folks, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm not an economist. I'm a frustrated economist, Ray, as you know. But I'm going to say that a fourth to half of the reason why the youth are unemployed is because of the higher minimum wages.
Minimum wage is one of those very few areas where most economists agree. You hike the minimum wage, and you're going to create less job opportunities, particularly for young, low-skilled,
right,
inexperienced workers. So you're absolutely right. And the only prominent economist that disagrees with that, of course, has just been appointed to head up the President's Council of Economic Advisors,
right,
by the way.
Right, exactly. And now he did bring up things like reform Medicare. That was good, but how's that, you know, he didn't have any proposals for that. Lower capital tax, the corporate tax rate, which maybe that will get done. He did talk about accelerating payments to small businesses who have federal contracts. Good for him. I hope he makes that happen. Lord knows small business owners need their payments quicker. So good for him. I'm going to have to take my hat off to him for that one. But that's just words so far. He wants to review government regulations. You know what? I want that too, but I don't see it happening. We've been talking about this for a long time too, haven't we?
Yeah, you're exactly right. There's a lot of talk about reviewing, but you know what you need? You need action now. You need to deregulate now.
Right.
This administration, they've been hyper-regulators. They have put previous administrations to shame. So for him to say that is ridiculous. And for him to talk about fiscal responsibility while he's now proposing even more federal spending he didn't use the word, but it's stimulus 2 or 3
and
or whatever.
When he talks about trade agreements, they're on his desk. He needs to send them to Congress. Don't say that we need to do this, Mr. President. You have these. When you understand, folks, the whole story behind the things that he proposed, that's the reason why I was embarrassed for him. 20 after. We're going to talk about commemorating 911 after these messages.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.